Okay, we're back at it.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah.
It's only one Oklahoma, and it was state. And it was state.
We are back at it. Welcome back to another edition of the Pistols Firing Podcast. I'm Carson Cunningham, joined as always by Colby Powell, and this is a bit of an emergency podcast edition. Obviously, massive news for Oklahoma State Wrestling, hiring David Taylor as just its seventh head coach, which is just a crazy number itself. But anytime we talk wrestling, we have to get in touch with our man Seth Duckworth. Worked a long time for Pistols Firing covering wrestling, has really become the preeminent voice on wrestling in the state of Oklahoma. Seth now works for owrestle.com, which you can sign up for exclusive content there. And really no better person to talk to than Seth with this. So Seth, we really appreciate your time today.
Yeah, thanks, Carson, man. It's been a wild day, or evening into today or whatever, and it's been pretty cool. Crazy, exciting, unique thing. It's wild, but excited to talk about it here.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, Colby, I'll start just kind of set the – for people who haven't been following this day in, day out, may not be diehard wrestling fans where they're on the internet looking at the latest rumors and updates. This kind of set the stage for – the last couple of weeks since John Smith announced his retirement, there was a lot of smoke about David Taylor. There was a lot of smoke about Casey Cunningham, who was also on the Penn State staff, been a longtime Cale Sanderson assistant. Just, you know, everyone, Seth, just kind of assumed it would be Coleman Scott, but just kind of lay out the last couple of weeks and what all's gone down leading up to this.
Yeah, it's been wild to say the least. And uniquely, you know, as you guys know, as media people, like, stuff kind of floods out once it's actually out in the air. And I've talked to a few people throughout the day and got a little more additional info before I had, going into last night and before they announced it and everything. But basically, last year, Coleman Scott, he had previously been the head coach at North Carolina. He's an Oklahoma State alum, Olympic medalist, all those things, comes in and as the associate head coach at OSU. And most people kind of presumed it was kind of a head coach in waiting type thing until John Smith retired and then Coleman would just kind of be the guy and they'd hand him the reins and everything. They did name him the interim coach when John retired, but no, you know, nothing really beyond that. And then, Chad said in the Chad Weiberg said in the initial press conference that they really wanted to kind of let John Smith have his moment, and they did. You know, it was a really neat event to let John retire the way he did, and for anybody that hadn't seen that, it was a great thing. But following that, it was kind of like, man, are they just going to announce a new coach? Like, everybody's just kind of presuming it was going to be Coleman Scott, and then a lot of people started presuming. Then they went through the interview process and things like that. And a lot of people were presuming that that was just going through the motions, like to meet HR requirements, different things like that. And then they were going to eventually announce Scott. They didn't. Then there was, you know, it just didn't, you know, continued kind of going through that process and no news, no news, no news. And then you started hearing smoke that, okay, they're talking to Casey Cunningham, like you said, Carson. They're talking – and Casey Cunningham, for those who don't know, he's an associate head coach at Penn State. They were talking to, other Oklahoma State guys that kind of get mentioned in a lot of those conversations as potential replacements for John. And it continues to go out. Then Taylor name drops, and it says, people say, hey, like, they're really looking hard at David Taylor. And then sure enough, it was announced last night. Basically, what happened is, I believe Thursday last week, Oklahoma State actually flew out to him, and the brass, Chad Weiberg, everybody met with David Taylor. They made some sort of an offer. There was a little bit of a countering and back and forth and kind of working out details and all those things. And then today, last night, it was officially announced. And, it's wild. Like you said, not very many head coaches at Oklahoma State. This historic moment.
Yeah, no doubt. And I do want to talk a little bit more about Coleman Scott while we're on the subject, because this is a job that it hasn't come open for 33 years. Since before I was born, this job has not been open. And I imagine he really wanted it. I mean, he left North Carolina. He left the head job to come to Oklahoma State. I can only imagine how he feels today as Oklahoma State, the fan base, kind of celebrates what seems to be a spectacular hire, bringing someone in from Penn State. But for Coleman Scott, I imagine this is a very difficult day, knowing that it's unlikely this job comes open again anytime soon. So I don't know. It's probably too early to answer this, and I'm putting you in a tough spot here. But as far as Coleman Scott and his future with the program, can you envision a scenario to where he is on David Taylor's staff? Or do you think the pain of getting, for lack of better terms, passed over for this job is going to lead him somewhere else where he can get more of a fresh start?
Well, the rumblings, and again, some things, when news like this breaks, you hear a lot of things and never know what is 100% true and what's, you know, up in the air, what may happen, what may not happen. But the rumblings are Taylor has a very calculated idea for his staff and has, like, very specific people that he wants. And most of them are from his camp up at Penn State. And not necessarily Penn State grads, but for those that don't know, that don't follow wrestling very closely, they have a regional training center at Penn State where a lot of the Olympians and top guys kind of train up there. And so it's expected that he's going to bring some of them with him as his staff. And some, you know, some are Penn State guys, but some, there's Kyle Dake's name's been thrown out there. Thomas Gilman is another guy. Dake's from Cornell. Gilman's from Iowa. You know, different places all over. But I don't know how much it's going to be a thing, kind of like you said, Colby, where the decision is, I don't think it's going to be a thing where Coleman necessarily feels burned and decides, hey, I don't want to deal with it. I don't know that the opportunity is necessarily going to be there, because I think all the rumblings are David Taylor has a pretty good idea of who he wants for his staff, and there's not a lot of spots that will still be there for current Oakland State staff. That doesn't mean, I mean, I would be shocked at least if there's not some slight presence, like if he just burns the whole thing to the ground. But like, I do think it's pretty like set. His idea is his people, and most of the people at Oklahoma State currently aren't really his camp. So I don't really expect a whole lot of continuity with Oklahoma State and the people currently on staff staying, but I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, there's a possibility, but just the rumblings are more than likely he's going to bring all his own guys in.
Yeah. And that makes sense to me. I mean, this hire by Weiberg, which we'll get more into in the thought process, lends you to believe, you know, the John Smith era is over and he's handing the keys to David Taylor to create his own era with his own guys. I certainly expect that to happen as well. And on the Coleman front, I don't know what you've heard, Seth. I've kind of heard that, I know you've tweeted a lot about this. I think you kind of echoed some of the things I've heard where, you know, everyone just assumed when he left a head coaching position at North Carolina that he was the head coach in waiting under John Smith. That's a natural tie. He was named the interim coach. Everything I've heard, there was no guarantees made to Coleman Scott in terms of handing him the keys, no questions asked. What have you heard about that? And just how do you, first, what have you heard about Coleman Scott with his position at Oklahoma State? And just what do you think the sentiment amongst the quote-unquote Oklahoma State family is going to be that he was passed over for a guy from Penn State?
I think there's no doubt there's going to be a little bit of a fracturing of the Oklahoma State fan base that's close to the program. You know, I mean, I don't know that, like, everybody that is at every duel right now and is maybe involved in certain things with the RTC and different things like that are going to become, and for those that don't know, RTC is a regional training center. It's like the Olympic training side of Oklahoma State. I don't know that all those people will still be wanting to contribute and things like that. I think there's definitely going to be a fracturing of people that think, you know, they wanted Coleman. They expected Coleman. They thought that was 100% going to be the thing, and they feel sort of wronged by this. I will say, I think there's two things. I think kind of time heals wounds, and before too long, most of those folks will kind of come back around. Outside of the very, very close folks to the program, I do think that, you know, if you're somebody that maybe was a roommate of Coleman in college or something like that, they're going to feel a certain way. But as far as just the casual fans, I don't know that I think most of those guys will come back around. But it's unique because I just don't know how far most of those people are going to hold out and be, you know, flustered by this and not want to come bring their ties back to Oklahoma State. I think most of it, like I said, I think it's a time heals wounds thing, and most of them are going to come back. But there's kind of a, if you really get in deep with it, there's probably 20 or so people around the Oklahoma State program that are either donors or they're coaches at different levels, whether it be with the RTC, for those that don't know, the high school program is pretty connected to Oklahoma State, and there's a lot of feet. Like, there's a world champ right now at Oklahoma State, at Stillwater High School, that's committed to Oklahoma State, and you know, number one, number two recruit in the country in his class. And people are kind of, there's rumblings that how's he going to feel about this, and is he going to still come to Oklahoma State, and different things like that. And I think my honest opinion is, I think Weiberg looked at things, and this is not talking directly with him, but this is just my opinion, and said, like, we're willing to sacrifice some of that because we think Taylor and his, what he can bring to the table, and his guys and his people and all those things is ultimately better than what's there right now. And I think they were not afraid to kind of make that move. And that's, I've talked about it, you know, on Twitter and some other stuff, but this was a really bold move by Chad Weiberg to make this hire for a million different reasons. And I think really he kind of make the calculated decision that it might burn some people the wrong way, and it might, you know, it's going to break up some of that family, as you called it, Carson. But I think they're kind of willing to do that to get these guys in place and kind of start a new thing here. And I ultimately think when it comes to the fans, and I think people that are kind of going to get engaged with the program in certain ways, there's going to be excitement from other sides of it that sort of makes all that balance out. And not only with Taylor's staff that he's going to bring in, but it's actually, I just got the email that OSU actually pushed out the official release on the announcement. But he mentions Chad Richardson in it, and I just wrote something on it, and I've been in contact with some people involved in that. And for those that don't know who Chad Richardson is, he's CEO of Paycom and, you know, one of the more wealthy guys in Oklahoma. He's a big wrestling guy. He actually went to UCO, but it's more of a thing where it's not like, I'm an Oklahoma State guy, I'm a wrestling guy from Chad's perspective, and he wants to see wrestling thrive here in the state. And he's thrown a lot of support behind David Taylor. So I think you're going to get, I mean, if you get a guy that significant involved, it's kind of, to a certain extent, worth sacrificing, burning some other people and different things like that. And I think that's the calculated decision that Chad Weiberg made. And I ultimately, you know, it could pay off. I mean, it could be a huge, most people, if you talk to people in the wrestling community, the more broad wrestling community, they see this as a home run hire. And, you know, they don't have maybe those allegiances and those nuances within Stillwater, Oklahoma, that other people do that maybe don't really love everything about it. But I think Chad Weiberg made that calculated decision to kind of sacrifice some of that, and it's going to burn some people, but you know, ultimately I think they've made their decision that this is what they want to do and go big with David Taylor and see what he does with the whole new program.
Yeah. And I think as an athletic director, that's your job, is to go hire the guy that you think is going to do the best job and return Oklahoma State wrestling to its place of prominence. A title that resides in Happy Valley, right? That's Penn State's title right now. That's the crown that they're wearing. And I don't want to make this, as an outside observer, as something as simple as, hey, go to Penn State, replicate what they're doing in Stillwater. But it kind of feels like you go get David Taylor. He's a young guy. He's 33. John Smith was hired 33 years ago, and he was a young guy. I believe John Smith was 26 whenever he took the Oklahoma State job. So is it really kind of just seeing, okay, what has been happening in Stillwater has been fine. The wrestling program is not in the gutter, right? Like, the wrestling program has still been thriving, but it has not been the program nationally. So instead of continuing to do what we've been doing with Oklahoma State people and just kind of status quo, this is a massive changeup and a massive risk from Chad Weiberg. But I respect taking that risk because you're kind of putting yourself on the line here saying, okay, I kind of had the easy coach in waiting here. This would have been an easy hire. We would have just kept on business as usual. Hope that this works out. See if we can get back to the heights that this program once enjoyed. And he skipped over that option for the very high risk, high reward option of bringing in David Taylor to seemingly recreate what was at Penn State. So is it as simple as, Happy Valley's got it rolling. Let's take one of their guys. He'll bring some more staff down here and we can recreate it in Stillwater.
I mean, that's a good way to phrase it up. There's no doubt that he's taken the, view that most people in the wrestling world have is that Penn State's got it rolling. Let's replicate that. And what ultimately another kind of small piece of this is you take a little bit away from what they have by Taylor, grabbing some of those guys and Oklahoma State's resources, grabbing some of those guys and bringing them down here. And, not only are you hiring that and bringing that to Stillwater, you're taking a chunk out of what they got there. And that kind of, who knows how that impacts them. But yeah, I think the way you phrased it with like, kind of to me, like Coleman Scott was the safe hire. That's the way I would describe it is, you're not going to ruffle a ton of feather. I mean, from the standpoint, there's some layers to this and some other things that I don't know what I can and can't talk about, but from the standpoint that like, you're not going to get it, the program's not going to fall off the map with what I think was in place. Like you said, Colby, there's not like, it's not like we're drowning or something like that, but I don't know that most people would really believe, okay, with this current staff, with the thing we've been doing for these years, minus John Smith, just one other guy in there, are things going to change that dramatically to a point that you're back to winning national titles? And I think Oklahoma State, Weiberg, whoever else made that calculated decision that instead of, I don't know, bunting in a situation to advance a runner and see if they can kind of slightly improve the program and get us up to, finishing in the top five, which last year we were number 10 in the country. They're shooting to completely swing, 3-2 count. We're going to swing for the fences and we're going to unleash on this thing. And that's what he did. And I mean, I personally, if I gave my personal opinion, I kind of like it. I think you don't, I mean, if you're an Oklahoma State fan and you've watched kind of what's going on, I don't think there's anything, again, necessarily bad going on there, but it's just kind of the status quo and it's the same people. And I really feel for all those guys and how this could impact them. But if you're really wanting to get Oklahoma State to the top, this is the move, it really is.
Well, and Seth, the things I've kind of read and listened to since this news broke was, the report that Chad flew to State College to meet with David Taylor, it seemed as if the dust had kind of settled and perhaps David Taylor may or may not have been all that interested. Well, that seems like a pretty dramatic change if that's the case. Do you think it's kind of what you mentioned with the Chad Richardsons of the world, maybe some more donors getting involved and going back to David Taylor with a more appealing package for not only his salary, but maybe assistance and just setting up his infrastructure? Was it a simple negotiation like that? Because it did seem as if the dust was kind of settled on Taylor and then boom, the hire happens.
Yeah. So the way I understand, I can't say everything about every conversation between Weiberg and David Taylor and some of those things, but my knowledge that I've heard from enough people is they did go and they presented something on last Thursday. And I don't know that it's the thing where Taylor maybe turned them down necessarily, but it was kind of, he came back with, I don't think this is quite enough for what I'm wanting. And where Richardson, I know stepped in, is he basically said, give me a list of XYZ that you want surrounding the program. And specifically what I was told is David Taylor. So for kind of more novice wrestling folks, this thing's emerged in Olympic style wrestling over the last couple of years called the Regional Training Center. And basically what it is these colleges have regional training centers that where senior level athletes, which means guys that are wrestling for world teams, for Olympic teams, that sort of thing, train near the campus. And it's not necessarily directly tied to like the university, but those resources are there. And say like a Dayton Fix right now goes out and he works out at the regional training center as he trains for the Olympics, even while he's simultaneously in college and wrestling collegiately. And you know, any athlete on your team does that. But do it nowadays, essentially the closest we have to, I guess, professional athletes in wrestling, and except for like MMA and that sort of thing, is you have these RTCs, and then they pay the senior level athletes to train at those locations. And then those guys kind of work out with the college guys, and it kind of has this mutual benefit to the programs, where not only to the senior level athletes get resources to work out and train and wrestle and all this stuff, the college level athletes, and even like in Stillwater, for example, the high school kids go up there and work out and stuff. There's just that mutual benefit where those college kids get to train with those Olympic level guys and vice versa. And then they can, the athletes themselves get a little bit of the benefit of actually getting paid to compete as wrestlers and support it. And then it's not in every situation. In most situations, you're not getting like these massive contracts or something like that, but you're at least like, you know, able to feed yourself. And maybe if you have a family or something like that, house them and things like that. And that's one area where Penn State's kind of destroyed everybody over the last couple of years. They've had all these guys up there, like most of the Olympic team trains out of there and all this different stuff. Well, that is where where Chad Richardson, I know, stepped in and said, I'm going to give you what you want with that, David, whatever you want. Like, not, I don't know, you know, probably not whatever you want, but if you need money to get athletes down here to set that up the way you want it to, we're going to make that happen. And I'm going to be there for you in that regard. And my understanding is that played a pretty significant role in it, was Richardson saying, hey, if you need resources for your RTC and you think that's what's going to happen, or going to help you get where you guys need to, I'll make it happen. And he's really heavily committed to making that piece happen to make this whole thing work for David Taylor in the way that he wants it to, kind of like we're saying, like in the way he envisions Oakland State being and what he wants to build.
Yeah, he has that. Oh, sorry, Colby. He has that MM2, which is like his brand. Is that like his version of the RTC that he had up at State College?
Well, so again, Penn State has it kind of rocking from every single direction you can imagine. But he basically has a club that he ran where he trains these high school kids and stuff like that. And it's essentially become like a feeder program for Penn State over the years, because he's trained all these kids. And then, they have one of their guys was a national finalist last year. It was one of the best kids in the country. There's like that. That's essentially what that is. What the RTC thing is called the Nittany Lion Regional Training Center. And that's, again, it's like high school kids, college kids and stuff can go kind of work out and interact with that. But it's really specifically for senior level guys to train, or guys and girls, even with the women's wrestling now, to train for the Olympics at those, or for world teams at those locations. So it's a little bit different than what Taylor has, but a lot of people kind of give Taylor a lot of credit for what he's done with M2. And that's been a big feeder that a lot of those guys go from there to Penn State. And ultimately, like the really, really high level wrestlers across the country that are, you know, going in and winning national titles and stuff, when they get to the collegiate level, they're kind of taking part in all those things. They go to RTCs, they go to those clubs like M2, which David has. They, you know, train with the colleges. They train at, they have really, usually they're at these blue blood high school programs with these really high level high school coaches. You know, it's kind of an all the above approach to get those guys where they want them to.
All right. So last one for me, Seth. I just want to know you personally. You're the expert. You're in this stuff. You're in the weeds every day. Scale of 1 to 10, if you want to do it that way, letter grade, overall optimism for this hire and the future of what it means for Oklahoma State. And this is a tough one, and I'm not going to hold your feet to the fire and hold you to this in the future. but just a timeline that you think, if everything goes well, David Taylor could get Oklahoma State contending for national titles in X number of years.
So, 1 to 10, it's hard to put a number on that for me personally, because like we talked about it, it's, they're swinging for the fences and he could completely whiff, because there's a reality that, David never has coached at the Division I level yet. He had the M2 thing. He's been at that, like, you know, if you follow wrestling enough, you being around that environment, you can apply it pretty quickly. But it's, the reality is he hasn't dealt with all of the above that goes into college wrestling, I guess, and being a college wrestling coach. But from a standpoint of a big name, like the biggest name you could get at and hire, all those things, and from the word I think you used, Colby, was optimism, I think your optimism should be like at a 10, because there's a possibility that he hits that home run that we're talking about and he just knocks it out of the park and it's just this amazing thing and Oklahoma State is contending for national titles in no time. But then there is kind of a low floor, so to speak, if this coach with no direct coaching experience as a head coach in Division One comes in and has certain struggles that, you know, I don't know, balancing the workload and all those things that is coaching and recruiting and all the other pieces that come together. But, I mean, I think your optimism, there's reason, again, to be optimism to a level of 10, because there's all the things are in front of Oklahoma State. You know, I mean, you've got basically the brand name in amateur wrestling right now. All these high school kids know who he is. All these recruits know who he is. I don't think he'll have any issues just bringing people in. All these, you know, there's connections. We've now got Richardson involved, which is a big resource as far as Oklahoma State wrestling goes. And if you get him tied into that and wanting to help and wanting to make this thing flourish, that's going to be, you know, very positive, which again, traditionally he's done a little bit with OSU, but not at this level. But I don't know. So I think the optimism could be at like a 10. I think if you're realistic, you probably give him 4 or 5 years to get the national title contention thing. I'll put 4 on it, because I think they can, and I feel weird saying that, because I think he could do it quicker if you really think about it, because the transfer portal and that entire world, as long as OSU has like still people that are helping with NIL and getting things like that done, then he's going to get those resources and he's going to be able to bring guys in, because people are going to want to wrestle for David Taylor because of the brand name that he has. So I think they could make it happen pretty quick, but my personal feeling is you're going to have a couple guys at least enter the transfer portal after this thing. You're going to have to kind of restructure a little bit. Heck, there's going to be guys that maybe Taylor doesn't gel with that are going to, like, a year or two in, they're going to have to kind of figure some things out. So it'll take a year or two to get like his guys in the room first, and then 2-3 more years after that. So before he, you know, we really see what he can do. And if he is as effective as people think, you know, you probably put it on a 4 or 5 year timeline that it should happen. If all these, you know, predictions and theories that he can coach at the level most people expect him to get them to, you know, really contending. But I will say this, and again, I think it's a big chunk of it is what they're taking away from Penn State by bringing David Taylor down here and bringing a lot of his guys with him. But Penn State right now is so far light years ahead of everybody else. I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't think Oklahoma State, like, for fans that have followed Oklahoma State the last couple of years, they haven't really been where they needed to be. But Penn State's just that far ahead of everybody right now. So not only will it take David coming down here and pulling his team together, it will kind of take a couple of years of whatever that takes away from Penn State to get OSU to a level to where they're, you know, can even kind of battle with them a little bit. But I think if those two things happen, you're looking at like 5 years. If Penn State keeps rolling, there's still like a gap, but I think it would be, you know, very realistic to see Oklahoma State finishing in second place, which they've been pretty far away from that for the last couple of years. So you at least want to see him get back to that. But again, it'd probably be a 5-year cycle for he really has all his things in place that are supposed to be there. But it could happen a little bit quicker just because of the transfer portal and all the different things that are in college athletics right now. So.
And this is something Oklahoma State's done before. They let Tommy Chesbro go in 84, hired Iowa coach Joe C. So there's some parallels there. And I can't help myself, Seth, but to draw parallels to John Smith. And again, Colby mentioned he was 26, had never coached before. I think that's going to be the biggest detractor for folks when they question this hire is his lack of coaching experience. But he's very similar in John Smith, which you've mentioned, like, kids grew up wearing David Taylor shoes, just like they grew up wearing John Smith shoes. John Smith had his success because everybody wanted to be in his wrestling room. And I think Chad Weiberg likely saw a lot of John Smith in him. I know that he's kind of a hybrid between John Smith and Kale Sanderson, considering his Kale ties, and he wrestled for him and certainly wanted to wrestle for him. Can you just kind of put in perspective this hire? I know you had a football analogy with this, but wrestling is a super unique sport. They're basically hiring one of the superstars of the sport and making him the face of the program, knowing full well that with that lack of experience, it's going to bring so much talent that just wants to wrestle for David Taylor. There's a lot of parallels and analogies to make, Seth, but those are kind of where mine lean towards.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of spot on. What his traditional, well, since I've been alive, I guess, and I know you remember this era too, Carson, because you were in college, and I know you went to high school with Johnny Hendricks and all those things, but the heyday of Oklahoma State wrestling, right, was that or of recent Oklahoma State wrestling, I should say, was that stretch from 02 to 06 or whatever, where they won 5 straight and, you know, had all the things that they did. But really, the reality in that is, like, don't get me wrong, they had good coaches, they had all these things, but every kid John Smith could pick whoever he wanted to come wrestle at Oklahoma State, because every kid in the state of Oklahoma for sure and around most of the country had a pair of John Smith wrestling shoes. Everybody had like a John Smith poster on the wall. Everybody had all those different things. Same thing happened with Kale Sanderson when he went to first Iowa State and then Penn State. And I think Kale built off of that a little bit more beyond just who he was as a wrestler and as a superstar and all those things, to do a lot more things within the sport and within the program at Penn State, to kind of build it his way and the way he saw it with the most success possible, and things that tie to that are the RTC I was talking about earlier. And he knew he was going to Pennsylvania because Pennsylvania had a good recruiting ground and all these things, but that's kind of chasing a rabbit there. But anyway, ultimately what both those guys, John and Kale, did is they took, you know, their superstar status and kind of used it to build, you know, to recruit to it and different things like that. And even though they were young and all these different things, the biggest thing is really they had the horses in the barn all the time that could go out there and compete, and they had the brand name to do that. And that's probably more than anything what David Taylor brings to Oklahoma State. He is the only other name out there I think you could kind of argue that there's two other names that are kind of in a similar level right now in wrestling. One's Jordan Burroughs, let me rephrase that. There's kind of three of them. There's Jordan Burroughs, there's David Taylor, there's Kyle Dake, and then there's Kyle Snyder. And ultimately, I think there's a whole bunch of other things to expand on with that. But Taylor has kind of in the most equipped position to go into coaching. So of all those guys, the only one that OSU could even went and grabbed is David Taylor, and that's what they did. Well, anyway, so with that brand name, you're kind of spot on. The experience in coaching, all those things that people are going to like say, or kind of naysayers are going to be like, oh yeah, like this will work, man. Traditionally, over the last, really the last 100 years of wrestling, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how it was back. It's Ed Gallagher's day or whatever, but really at least past 50 years of wrestling, that's what it's been. It's been the guys with the big brand name, they go and get the jobs. Dan Gable, if you go back to Dan Gable, he was pretty young. He gets hired by Iowa at Iowa State, and everybody knows who Dan Gable is. He lost one match in college. He's an Olympic gold medalist. He's all these things. He was a good coach, but his brand name meant a lot, and he built that thing there. And then you see John Smith. He does his run and does all these things. Kel Sanderson does what he's doing now. All of those guys were the superstars of their sport, and that's what that's what they built their thing on. Like, don't get me wrong, they did a whole lot more beyond that, but those things mean a lot. The shoe deals, the name, the brand name, and all those things. And right now, David Taylor, of anybody you could pick, like, is the guy. And I mean, again, I empathize with the current Oklahoma State staff and what's going on there, and you know, wherever they're going and different things. But Coleman Scott doesn't have that brand name, like nowhere close to it, really, that David Taylor has. He's kind of, you know, a little bit older and stuff. Like, most kids that are wrestling these days probably don't even, I mean, like high school kids wouldn't even barely remember it. So it's a way different game as far as that goes. And again, traditionally, the last couple decades of dominant coaching have come from those guys who are the big brand names in the sport and the superstars of the sport. And David Taylor is that.
Yeah, it's really exciting. Seth, how do we follow you on O-Wrestle? How do people get signed up?
So O-Wrestle.com, we kind of, there's two parts to our site. There's O-Wrestle.com and then Rockfin / O-Wrestle. And Rockfin is the subscription side of it. There's tons of stuff beyond mine, just a lot of wrestling content on that site. And there's kind of a lot of regional sites that use their premium content on that. I've got a ton of stuff on this the David Taylor hire up there right now, but go check that out. You can follow me on Twitter at Seth_Duckworth, but I share my stuff all the time. But owrestle.com, and then within that you can find our Rockfin page, and there's a lot of extra stuff there, so check out both those things. I really appreciate everybody that does that.
You also picked up a new nickname, Matt Boy, the mouthy NIL guy, Scott Albertson. Listening probably have seen him on Twitter. He got a little mouthy and told you to stay in your lane, Matt Boy. Do you have any more Matt Boy t-shirts? I know you had those at one point.
I do. Okay, so that's a funny story that stemmed out of that, because I find it funny. I don't know. The guy calls me, the whole thing with it, I guess, is it is probably a little bit of a, you know, flippant joke that I didn't need to make or whatever. But Marshall Scott, who, of course, Pistols Firing, and I used to write for you guys and everything, he tweeted something about something going on in a basketball game. And I was always kind of, no ill will towards Mike Boynton, but I was always kind of bothered by his statements about the NIL comments or whatever, because, you know, I know certain things with wrestling and different things, and I know that they were getting more money than them and all these different things. But I made a joke, because it was like, I think Marshall's tweet said something like 5 minutes without a basket or something. Like, and so my joke was, well, maybe if they just had more NIL money, because in my opinion, I'm not a basketball expert, but I don't think NIL money is the reason you don't score for 5 minutes. So, and again, and so that guy basically, Albertson, said, stay in your lane, Matt Boy. And a lot of people jumped on him, and we kind of, you know, it became a thing. But anyway, so with the shirts, what I actually did, I'm my hometown is Cushing, and I reached out to my high school coach. I reached out to Dustin Plott, who is a Oklahoma State wrestler, national finals last year. And I said, hey, Dustin, I got this idea to do a camp, and I'm going to sponsor it in my hometown, and I'd like you to run it and everything. And he said, yeah, I'd be down for it. And I told him, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to sell these shirts called and I changed my Twitter handle and all this stuff, and I've sold like, I think like 45 shirts or something. And Dustin's getting most of the money to give this camp, and it's going to be free to kids in Cushing. So
that's,
if you guys
awesome.
Want one of those shirts, hit me up. I'll get you one.
Yeah. Some positivity coming out of Twitter vitriol. You got to love it. Seth, thanks a lot, man, for your time. Great job covering this story, and I'm excited. I'm excited for Oklahoma State wrestling. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Seth.
Hey, thanks, guys.
All right, that's Seth Duckworth. We appreciate him coming on the pod. Colby, we got some softball to get to, but first I wanted to get more of your thoughts on this hire. Again, I kind of tweeted, and most people are of the opinion that, you know, this is a landscaping, sport-shifting type of hire, and I think it's one that, like I mentioned, Chad Weiberg could see how far behind they were. I mean, again, 18 years since their last national championship. I think it presented a unique opportunity that Taylor did not qualify for the Olympics. He was upset, so he's not going to Paris. That kind of opened the door for this level of hire. And for all the reasons Seth kind of laid out, this is kind of how the sport goes. You know, you need a superstar head coach that's just going to bring in the horses in the barn, as he said. And I think it's a tremendous hire from Chad Weiberg. What are your extended thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think it's a high reward hire. It's high risk. Obviously, you're hiring a guy who is not coached at this level, but you take big swings, right? And that's what Chad Weiberg did here. And I think it's exciting for Oklahoma State. It's the exact opposite of status quo. And I think that's probably what this program needed at this point. When you're looking at 18 years since they won a national championship, that is pretty jarring for people who remember what this program was when John Smith took over and whenever he really had it rolling. This program was what Penn State is now, and it was time to change up the status quo. And look, I understand to anybody out there who wanted Coleman Scott, who thought that he deserved it, but just simply being a Stillwater guy and being on the staff, those alone don't make you the best candidate to be the next head coach. Somebody on Twitter talking with Seth was saying that this would be like if Gundy retired and they went out and hired Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers to be the next head coach. It's like you're going out to get one of the goats in the sport, someone with a huge brand in the sport that guys are going to want to come wrestle for. And, you know, you just hope that someone who's that elite and has been in this his entire life understands what it takes to build a program and can go out and do it. So I do acknowledge that it's risky, but I also think it was the appropriate time for a risk, right? This is a big swing by Chad Weiberg, and I love it. I think sometimes you have to take big risks. I think that's where the biggest payoffs are. And like Seth said, the scale of 1 to 10, will this for sure work out? We don't know. But the reason for optimism, I think, is out of 10, because if he comes in being a Penn State guy, brings other guys from Happy Valley down here with him, the sky could potentially be the limit, and this could be a program competing for a national championship here in a number of years, which is what everyone wants to see. So, look, if he falls on his face and it doesn't work out, then Chad Weiberg will own that. And if it works and they win a national championship here in 3, 4, 5 years, then Chad Weiberg will look like a genius. That is the responsibility that comes with being the guy who makes the hire. I respect the big swing.
Yeah, and I think Chad Weiberg has been met with some real fork in the road decisions to make as the athletic director. The basketball program was the most recent. Now you have this one with wrestling. And I think perhaps my biggest takeaway of all of this is that Chad Weiberg is going to do what's absolutely positively the best thing for Oklahoma State to compete and win national championships. And make no mistake, that's his job. His job is not to appease folks. It's not to appease only OSU people. It's not even to appease John Smith, the former head coach at Oklahoma State. And that's your job as an athletic director. I think this is yet another example that Chad has been in athletic departments. He has paid his dues and he knows what it takes to succeed. And to me, this is the talk of the sport right now. You've got message boards at Penn State and Iowa that are thousands posts deep talking about this. Would they be talking about that if it was Coleman Scott? Would they be as worried if it was Coleman Scott? I don't think it would be. Perhaps that's not fair to Coleman. He obviously built a really good program from lower depths in North Carolina. But I also think Chad was around the program in Stillwater. I think he obviously observed Coleman Scott, talked to a lot of people, and he ultimately felt that David Taylor could bring this program back to the heights it's supposed to be at, which is the national champion. So I think, Colby, my biggest take is if you had any doubts about Chad Weiberg as an athletic director doing what's best for Oklahoma State, I think those have been put to bed. Now, whether it works or not, it remains to be seen. I think it's going to, absolutely, based on all the things we've discussed. But first and foremost, Colby, I think Oklahoma State Athletics is in great hands with Chad Weiberg.
Yeah, I do too. Chad, pardon me, I was had myself on mute there for a moment. Chad seems to just dive into the process, right? Get very deep into the weeds. And I just don't think that the outside noise and like you hear rumblings, right? He knows, he hears the rumblings of what kind of everyone wants and what would be just kind of the popular hire to keep things rolling along. And he's going out, he's doing his due diligence, and he's searching the country to find whoever is best for the job. And I do totally understand, right? We've had a ton of success in Stillwater with Oklahoma State guys who become head coaches. We've seen it with Mike Gundy. We've seen it with Josh Holliday. Mike Holder was another example. John Smith was another example that worked for a long time. We've just seen it time and time again that Oklahoma State guys have success. But I don't think that that means that you have to go hire an Oklahoma State guy. I think that that matters and you factor that in and you weigh that. But if it is outweighed by the potential of someone like David Taylor coming in and turning this program into what Penn State is, you have to factor that in more. And I think that Chad Weiberg is doing whatever he truly feels is the absolute best for Oklahoma State athletics. And he will live with whatever the consequences are. He's not there to play it safe. He's there to take big swings and try to get big results. So I respect the moves that he's making and just the willingness to go out and take risks. If you play it safe, you're probably going to get more medium results. The highs and lows might be higher when you take big swings, but I'm all here for it.
Yeah, and I kind of mentioned it to your point. Like, the John Smith era is over, and he's creating his own new era of OSU wrestling. And if that's David Taylor and a bunch of Penn State folks, so be it. The job is not to have an alumni coaching staff. The job is to win national championships. And Penn State's so far out ahead that I think this is really the only realistic hire you can make to even challenge them, frankly. That's the level Penn State's at. And all the things about Taylor, like, if you have reservations about him coaching, like Seth mentioned it, he's already coaching the top talent in the country in these RTCs and certainly his own MM2 branded kind of club team. So it's not like the guy didn't know how to coach wrestling. So I just think this is a home run hire. And I think the excitement for OSU wrestling is going to be at fever pitch next year with Taylor. Now, again, you mentioned it. How long will it take? I kind of lean more to a shorter term turnaround than 4 years that Seth mentioned. I think it might be one or two, honestly, because he mentioned the name Kyle Dake. There's rumors he might join the staff. That's, again, just a superstar level of coaches you could have potentially in Stillwater. So I think it's going to be quick, and I think it's going to really invigorate some life in the OSU program. But so we appreciate Seth coming on the pod. And, Colby, let's wrap things up talking some softball. What a massive, massive series win in Norman for the Cowgirls. Just bomb after bomb after bomb. They're hitting more bombs than Phil Mickelson down there in Norman. They win the series. They won the first two, lost the third. But again, it's their first time they've won multiple games against Oklahoma since 2010. It's the first time they've won multiple games in Norman since 1997. Just an incredible series. And they were able to get one back on Kelly Maxwell as well. Kind of got her out of that game early.
Yeah, no doubt. That was a big one for Oklahoma State softball. And I think that there's been this air of invincibility around the Oklahoma softball program for several years now with the Jocelyn Allos of the world and just some of the pitchers they've run through that have seemed just truly unhittable. And while Oklahoma is still great, I by no means think that they are the juggernaut that they've been in recent years, where it's Oklahoma and then just the other seven teams who make it to Oklahoma City. I don't think that's the case this year. I think the national championship is more up for grabs than it's been in a while. And I think it was big for the psyche of Oklahoma State softball to go to Norman, go to that new stadium and take two from them down there, and to do it against Kelly Maxwell and run her off the mound had to be incredibly satisfying for Kenny Gajewski and the players on that roster. And just mentally, from a confidence standpoint, going down there and taking two out of three, that's a big, big deal as you move forward and hopefully make it to Oklahoma City once again, to believe that you're not just kind of playing second fiddle in this state, that you're a good enough team to go win the entire thing. And softball in this state has been a big deal for years now, with Patty Gasso doing what she's doing and Kenny Gajewski slowly but surely getting Oklahoma State up to the level of Oklahoma. And now it seems like it's kind of coming to a head, and you just hope that both of these teams get a chance to play in Oklahoma City. A national championship Bedlam series, best two out of three in Oklahoma City, would be unbelievable for this state. It is, fingers crossed, that's absolutely what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, Oklahoma State is the 3 seed, three-team race with Texas, who won the Big 12, and Oklahoma as well. And Bedlam's looming in the semifinals. If Oklahoma State takes care of BYU, OU will face the winner of Kansas and Houston. And you got to expect another Bedlam matchup in the softball Big 12 championship tournament. So, again, I tweeted this after the game. Like, we talk about coaching hires. Mike Holder's last great move he made was hiring Kenny Gajewski. I think he's one of the best hires OSU has made in any sport, especially given where Oklahoma State was as a program with softball. They were not a perennial powerhouse. They did have, I think they did make it to Oklahoma City before hiring Gajewski. So it's not as if they were, you know, just a lackluster program. They had some potential there, but what he's made them into, a perennial threat to get to Oklahoma City and to challenge Oklahoma year in, year out, and to be ranked in the top five seemingly year in, year out. I mean, what else can you say other than just a genius hire from Mike Holder? And again, speaking of Chad Weiberg hiring a Penn State guy to coach Oklahoma State wrestling, Kenny Gajewski's a Sooner. Played baseball at Oklahoma, came up under Patty Gasso. Sometimes this is what it takes, Colby. So there's some parallels there that I just kind of thought of as I was talking about Gajewski.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't really considered that so much, but it was – here's how you know where softball's at in this state. I'm in a golf group text, a bunch of guys, like 30 of us in there, and this weekend we were talking softball in the golf group text. There was a little Bedlam rivalry going on in the spring, and the Bedlam rivalry, look, it's still fun, and the reason I want that national championship matchup between Oklahoma and Oklahoma State is not just for the theatrics of it. It's just for the unending – elation on one side and the unending pain on the other for whichever side goes down. That's what sports is all about. It's just about the highs and the lows emotionally, and a national championship series between the two programs would be incredible. And Kenny Gajewski has been incredible. I didn't think, I don't want to say in the Patty Gasso era, because times are long. There's the transfer portal. It's hard to maintain these dynasties, right? But I didn't see a scenario where Oklahoma State would go down there and take two out of three. And that's a big, big deal. And I think that both of these fan bases are going to be incredibly fired up here in a few weeks.
Yeah, it's big time. And just another Bedlam win, another Bedlam trophy coming to Stillwater. They're racking them up as OU heads out the door.
yeah, they are. How about the other Bedlam win over the weekend? Gavin Freeman coming to Oklahoma State. How do you feel? Obviously, Trace Ford goes down there last year. Kelly Maxwell goes down there. How do you feel about Oklahoma State landing an Oklahoma receiver? Because I have mixed emotions.
Well, I had Marshall on while you were traveling, and Freeman had just entered the portal, I think, that day, maybe the day before. I think it was that day. And I just brought it up to him because I think he could fill a role. OSU has obviously a solid receiver room, but they don't have a ton of guys exactly like Brennan Presley. I think he fits a slot type of role. He's obviously an Oklahoma kid playing at Heritage Hall there in Oklahoma City. And remember, Colby, Gavin Freeman was the talk of OU fall camp this year. He was making plays every practice. They're putting out videos of him. He was the talk of OU's camp. So the kid can play. I knew that from the high school level. I remember watching him against Clinton, just blowing everyone off the field. I was like, we sure this kid can't come to Stillwater? I think he was committed to Texas Tech at that time. Obviously turned down a scholarship to go to Oklahoma. And I think he's been a little buried there with the transfer portal at Oklahoma. They brought in that big Purdue receiver who had a big spring game. May not see eye to eye with the staff, I guess. I don't know what all the reasons are. There's some reasons there with the depth chart perhaps. But he's a talent, Colby. And the OU-OSU thing, I think it's much less mitigated. They're not going to be playing. That for me, makes it so much less of an ordeal with them going to the SEC. And I just think it's another playmaker to the roster.
Yeah, no, I agree with everything you just said. I absolutely think it's a good get. I just, somewhere in my bones, I just see pictures of him in that OU jersey. And then, I don't know, I'm not that old, but just the old school in me just still feels weird about guys going from Oklahoma State to Oklahoma. Women, Kelly Maxwell, I thought that was weird. It made me feel uncomfortable. And it even feels a little uncomfortable to me going the other way, to have a guy who was wearing the crimson cream now lace it up in the orange and black. It just feels weird, but it's a new world that we're living in. And the first time that Gavin Freeman takes a jet flip and makes a couple of guys miss on his way to the end zone, I will no longer have mixed emotions. I will be a Gavin Freeman fan at that exact moment.
And his dad played at Oklahoma, played tight end. Jason Freeman played at Oklahoma. So he's a Sooner born, Sooner bred. So yeah, that'll take some getting used to. But I kind of drew this comparison. I want to see if you agree with it. He reminds me a ton of Josh Stewart. We all remember Josh Stewart, an electric return man, that famous picture against TCU where there's like 10 dudes laying on the ground. He's walking in the end zone. Kind of a smaller receiver that can play big too. I mean, can go up and get the football. And obviously with the reverses, that type of nature, just it's not a like for like comparison, but there are a lot of similarities there.
Yeah, I can see that. I'll be honest, I'm not familiar enough with Gavin Freeman's game to necessarily make that reference. I'll see more this fall because I don't know that he's quite deserving of that comparison just yet. But if he can get on the field and make some plays, then I absolutely think he could get there. So I think that is a fair starting point in terms of Oklahoma State comparisons.
Yeah, just in terms of style, I'm not sitting here saying, you know, Josh Stewart's one of the better receivers OSU's had in the last 15 years. I'm not saying he's going to be him, but in terms of style, I can see some similarities there. So I think it's a good get. And Colby, don't you think, like, I put this on the chamber, like, to me, this is just yet another sign of Mike Gundy's growth with the transfer portal. I mean, don't you think just like 1 year, maybe 2 years ago, that Mike Gundy just would have kind of shrugged his shoulders and just stuck with status quo and said, nah, we're good. Like, I think this is a real sign that Gundy's far more open to add talent when it becomes available.
Yeah, I think so too. And that's big for Oklahoma State, right? We talked about this a lot in the fall about how some of these changes that were coming, Mike Gundy forecasted and was ready for. Some of them he seemed resistant to, seemed a little resistant to the portal and NIL and just the way that it shook up college football. But I think now, and we talked about this a ton as things took a turn from, you know, the end of the 2022 season, the final six games and everything that happened there, to the way the 2023 season played out and the seeming willingness of Mike Gundy to admit and come to the realization that this is the new landscape of college football. And if you want to be the best, you have to be the best under these rules. And he seems to have fully embraced it. And I'm very optimistic for the future of Oklahoma State football under Mike Gundy, because he just seems that he's totally over any complaints he might have had about the way that this is changing the landscape of college football. He accepts that this is what it is. This is the system that we're all playing in, and he's ready to go out and thrive in this system. So I'm as optimistic about Oklahoma State football as I've been in a long time with just kind of the decisions that we've seen Mike Gundy make.
Ready for the toast of the week?
Absolutely. You give a word to our good sponsors, and then you can go first this week because I've got a good one, and I'm 100% sure it's not yours.
Okay, well, we'll see about that. This is the Toast of the Week brought to you by Yuengling, America's oldest brewery. Be sure to check out their Flight. Raise the bar with the next generation of light beer. Flight by Yuengling is easy drinking, clean, crisp, and refreshing. Flight is only 95 calories, 2.6 carbs, 4.2% alcohol by volume. Trying to watch my carbs, Colby, trying to slim down a little bit. It's almost lake season, so I'm going to be kind of switching over to the Flight, trying to slim down a little bit. But thank you to Yuengling for sponsoring our toast of the week. I could obviously give one to Chad Weiberg. I mentioned just what good hands Oklahoma State's athletic department is in. That's certainly worth noting. But I'm actually going to give a toast to Carson. No, not Cunningham. Carson Binge from Oklahoma State baseball. He's coming off National Player of the Week honors. And all he did was, in the series loss to Texas, he had two hits on Sunday and a home run, then pitched 6.2 innings and gave up just one run and struck out five. His ERA on the bump is 2.45, and he's hitting .332. Mr. Do-It-All, Carson Binge, I think is worthy of a toast for OSU baseball.
That's Mr. Carson Shohei Ohtani Binge, to those of you unfamiliar with Carson Binge's game. He has been lighting
That's what I call myself after too many Yuenglings. Carson Shohei Ohtani Cunningham.
Oh, that's beautiful. By the way, I don't know. I did listen to you and Marshall. I can't remember. Did y'all talk about Nolan Schubert's 4 home run game?
We didn't get to that. I meant to, and you know how we do these podcasts, you get sidetracked sometimes.
4 home runs in a game. Unbelievable. School record. And some big time hitters have come through Stillwater, Oklahoma. Pete Incaviglia, obviously, chief among them. Carson, here's how I knew that our toast would not line up this week. We had a head-to-head matchup between two teams that we root for yesterday. The Crystal Palace Eagles. The Crystal Palace Eagles, 4. Manchester United and all their money, 0. 4-0. toast of the week to the Crystal Palace Eagles. I read some stories about it being described as a new low, rock bottom for Manchester United. Very happy that my Eagles could provide it.
Are you speaking of Freeman switching sides? You ready for Michael Olise to play for Man U next year? I think they're going to buy your best player.
Oh, it's for sure going to happen. He had two goals in the game yesterday. But that's why I chose Crystal Palace, right? I'm not a Premier League diehard. I don't need to be winning it. I chose a fun, lovable underdog team who gets to play spoiler from time to time. And I understand that those teams in the Premier League are typically farm systems for the Manchester Uniteds of the world. So, yes, at least I had two goals yesterday. He'll likely play for Manchester United next week. But I understand where my place is as a fan with my team in the Premier League.
Crystal Palace, their jerseys kind of look like AFC Richmond from Ted Lasso. So they are pretty lovable and they play a good style. But Man U's a mess. They're just, they've had terrible ownership. They're finally getting rid of the Glazers and owners. They're going to get a British owner that knows what he's doing. So this is kind of a lame duck year, a lame duck decade, really, because of Man City and all their money. So it's been more of the same for us, unfortunately.
I'm glad we recorded today. The wrestling decision came down, so I didn't have to hold on to that for 4 days.
You can't hurt me. I'm impervious to pain right now when it comes to Man U. I'm not even affected by 4-0 losses.
That's fair.
I'm at.
Also, Arkansas transfer Devontae Davis committed to Oklahoma State. Steve Lutz lands another one.
Oh yeah, I meant to mention that.
Yeah, this is a good get. He continues filling out the roster. This is a guy with a lot of experience and should be a guy on the ball quite a bit, I would think, for Oklahoma State.
Yeah, his highlights, man. He gets up and down the floor, which you know Lutz likes to do. He was committed to Oklahoma State when they were recruiting Cade Cunningham, and then they got Cade, and he ended up switching to Arkansas. So it's good to have him back in the fold. And I think one of the more highly rated guys left to go get. So Lutz also added a national junior college head coach that won a national title that has coached with him, has coached at UTSA. So he's assembling a really good staff, and this is another big get out of the portal. I like what Lutz is building.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, the highlights of all the guys that keep coming in, you watch them and you're like, man, this guy, he runs the floor. And that's exciting to me to see what Lutz can do with those guys. Carson, I would also like to pour one out before we get out of here for my sleep schedule. The Thunder and the Avs both get started. The Colorado Avalanche, for those of you listening, I'm a big hockey fan as well. Both get the Western Conference semifinals started tonight, and both games are going to get underway just a little bit before 9 o'clock our time. So my sleep is going to be yawn for the next few weeks.
Yeah, it's I hated seeing all the 8:30 tips for Thunder. That's going to keep me up as well.
It's brutal.
The severe weather's keeping me up late. I had to make sure it didn't come by my house last night. So team no sleep is what we're going to be calling it this next couple weeks.
Absolutely. Great stuff, Carson. Anything we missed?
Nope. Again, I just want to reiterate, it's a huge hire by Chad Weiberg. It's an exciting hire, and I can't wait to see Penn State, Oklahoma State wrestling with national title implications. That's going to be a lot of excitement in Gallagher, Iowa, between Steve Lutz taking over and David Taylor taking over. So I think spring sports just got a shot of adrenaline coming into next season.
Yeah, Gallagher, Iowa is going to be rocking next year. No, the Steve Lutz era and the David Taylor era getting underway simultaneously. Carson, this year I made exactly zero trips to GIA. The excitement was not there for me and the schedules did not work out. I imagine next year I'll have to get in the building for at least one of each. It's not that easy with a kiddo, but I'm going to have to try to make it happen next year.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, great stuff. Appreciate everyone for listening as always. If you have any thoughts, hit us up on Twitter and let Seth know that you appreciate him coming on at Seth_Duckworth. Carson's at Carson_OKC, and I'm at Colby J. Powell. We appreciate all of our loyal listeners. We'll be back next week. Go Pokes!